What is going on? It is Dylan from the TN Podcast, and today I'm going to be breaking down the Tigers, pretty much every player in the organization that's relevant, and basically tell you personally from a giant Tigers enthusiast what his opinion on them are, what to look for, what I like, what I dislike about them, their story, and I think this, I'm going to try to make this so like the most casual fan that hasn't watched this team since 2014 and knows like three players can understand and watch, and someone that's, you know, equal or even maybe smarter than me could watch and learn a thing or two from. So basically what I'm going to do, as I said, is just I'm going to go through the organization position by position. I don't know if I'm going to do everybody in this one or just hitters, but I'm going to be breaking down again just pretty much just my thoughts about each player. So let's get right into it. We're going to start with catcher. So to kick it off, the Tigers acquired Tucker Barnhart. Now note, the Tigers at the catcher position the last few years have struggled pretty mightily aside from last season. But last season, the Tigers lost Jake Rogers for the season, and Eric Haas, who we'll soon talk about, had a big fall off when he had to assume everyday duties. But the Tigers, they have gone through catcher after catcher the last two seasons and really haven't gotten a stable guy, and Tucker Barnhart looks to be that guy. He's not a good hitter at all by any means. His highest WRC plus is 90, which 100 is average, meaning he was a 10% below average hitter at his best. Last season, he had an 81, so he was 19% below average. He did actually have a relatively solid season for his numbers, but his expected numbers took a big fall off, which, again, I think it shouldn't be taken too seriously. You kind of know what you're getting from the bat from him. But what is valuable with him is that he's a really solid defender, pretty good framer, and is known as a good sequencer. And that's really important when this team's identity is going to be starting pitching and you have three young pitchers that are hopefully going to be the future of this team. Getting a guy like Barnhart who can, you know, get you your strikes that you need and really work with these young pitchers, help them grow, is super important for this rebuilding team. And Barnhart is a perfect example of what a placeholder is, because the Tigers had Jake Rogers for half a season last year who did excellent. Unfortunately, he had Tommy John, is probably going to be out for most, if not all, of this year. And then you also have Dylan Dingler, who we'll go into. And again, we'll go into Jake Rogers more too. But you got Dylan Dingler in Double A, who, you know, he's still a little bit away, still has some developing to do. But Barnhart gives you a guy who can step in right away, give you value as a defender, and is pretty much exactly what the Tigers needed. The free agency class at catcher was pretty garbage, besides Barnhart, who was expected to go, as the Reds have a nice young catcher that's ready to start every day. So getting Barnhart was a good move. They got him at the very start of offseason. And Nick Cantana, who the Tigers gave up, he was a second-round pick and pretty much hasn't done anything since he's got here. Hasn't hit for anything. So really was got him for cheap, a relatively affordable contract. It was a good pickup. So the next player in line at the catcher position is Eric Haas. So Eric Haas is a pretty fun story. He was pretty much organizational depth with the Cleveland Indians. They had a lot of catchers in their system. Francisco Mejia, Roberto Perez, a lot of catchers. So he was kind of blocked coming up, and he was eventually DFA'd by the Indians and claimed by the Tigers. He debuted a little bit in 2020, didn't do anything, got DFA'd into the 2020, the 2021 offseason. It was kind of an afterthought. He was like third or fourth on the depth chart for catcher in spring training. He did hit really well, and he was on a couple people's radar. So when the Tigers, when Wilson Ramos came, sucked and was DFA'd, and Grayson Griner, Tigers called up Eric Haas, gave him a chance, and he absolutely raked. Home run after home run, he would hit a bunch of clutch nukes. Eric Haas was definitely a fan favorite last year and helped his team win quite a few games. But the thing with Haas was that it was really kind of short-lived. The second half of the season for Haas was pretty awful. He had a 62 WRC plus, hit 202, 262 on base percentage, and 331. And for those that don't have a reference on whether that's good or not for batting average and on base and slugging, it's not at all. He had a 128 WRC plus from the minute he was called up to July 30th, which again, yeah, after he was terrible. And he decreased 65% in production from that time. So what happened with Haas? The first thing that many would point out to was his discipline. Haas struck out over 30% of the time, but that's just part of his game. He strikes out a lot. Everybody knew that, and that's pretty much what prevents him from being anything more than just a bench bat platoon guy. But it really didn't regress in that time point at the end of the season. What really decreased was he didn't have as many hard hit balls. He was just a little unlucky, and mainly it was just that his launch angle decreased a solid 6 degrees. His ground ball rate improved over 10%, which is not great when you have a slugger like him. And again, he was a little unlucky. He was pretty lucky at the start, so that kind of fell. He came back to earth pretty much and then had a little more unluck with that. So the key for Haas is getting that launch angle back up, hitting the ball with authority again, and, you know, just not going into disaster, striking out a crap ton. What I see for him this year is being the backup catcher platoon guy. As a right-handed hitter, he absolutely rakes against lefties. He had a 141 WRC plus, 41% above the average hitter against lefties. And then against righties, that's where he really struggled, only a 79 WRC plus. So getting Haas in the lineup against lefties, whether it's DH, left field, catcher, first base, I think he's going to play all of those positions. He's going to be, I think, used as more of a utility player. And I think he'll probably still get a solid 200-400 plate appearances this season. He's definitely going to be a part of this team, and especially if he hits like he did the first two-thirds of last season, he is going to stick. So a very interesting player, one of the many players that we're going to go over that's going to be whether he can stick or if he was just a one-year wonder. So Haas, that's kind of your report on him. So the third catcher in the organization is Dustin Garneau. So Garneau has been pretty much a journeyman. He is 34 years old. He was a 19th round pick in 2009. And the fact that he even got to the majors is a success story in itself. But Garneau has been able to manage a pretty decent career, has been on four or five different teams, and has been in the majors every year since 2015. Garneau's never been anyone major. He's mainly just a defensive third catcher, emergency call-up guy. But he came this year and did his job when the Tigers needed him. He hit .210, had a .250 on base, which isn't good. But he had a .581 slugging percentage, a .371 ISO, which both are well above the major league average. And in 68 plate appearances, hit 6 home runs. This was a short sample size, and many thought that Garneau was going to be non-tendered, which means basically when you have under 6 years of service time and above three, the team has a chance if they want to retain you and pay you a certain contract or let go. And assuming in the third catcher, usually they get let go. But the Tigers opted to keep Garneau, which was a surprise in itself. And it now makes you genuinely wonder, or at least me genuinely wonder, if he's going to be on the roster as the backup catcher. Now, I know, I just said Haas was the backup catcher. But Haas, having his left, being hitting so well against lefties, and being able to play first base and left field, might be used more as a utility platoon guy. Him and Badu make a ton of sense as a platoon guy in left field. But yeah, Garneau, he's more of your traditional backup catcher. A pretty decent defender, which is good. And I assume he worked pretty well with the young guys, which probably played a factor in his role. Now, Garneau, 113 WRC plus when he has a career 68. He's not going to repeat that. A funny stat I saw is that his home run slash fly ball percentage, which basically is kind of like a BABIP for home runs. BABIP basically tells you the batting average of balls in play and sometimes can tell you if a player overperformed their stat. Home run for fly ball also kind of does that. If a player has an outlier home run to fly ball ratio, it can tell you that maybe they won't hit as many home runs next year, or maybe they made a significant change into their launch angle or something. But anyways, Garneau had a 27.3% home run to fly ball ratio. If you were to put that next to all of the qualified lead leaguers, he would be fifth behind ahead of right behind Aaron Judge and right ahead of Joey Gallo, followed by Stanton and Harper. So that just gives you in mind how sustainable that little power run was for Garnell. But I don't have anything against Garnell. He's a perfect third catcher, really good guy to have, probably will make the roster. And yeah, that kind of rounds up your major league catchers. So in terms of farm system, the Tigers kind of lack at catcher. The Tigers do have their poster boy, their catcher of the future, Dylan Dingler. And I say that with quotations because, again, it's super hard to project these guys. But Dylan Dingler, he was expected to be a first-round pick. The Tigers, who many labeled as a steal, got him in the second round. Dingler made his pro debut this season, hit really well in low A, or low and high A, mainly high A, 141 plate appearances, had a 149 WRC plus. Gets called up to double A, and again, this is his first professional season. Catchers take a long time to develop. Not only do they have to hit, but they also have to really learn that position, you know, understand these guys. They have a lot of stuff to learn. And Dingler kind of hit a stump and struggled pretty badly at double A. He only had a 58 WRC plus, only hit 202, and then had to be shut down with an injury to end the season. So Dingler projects likely to start in double A again, and this is going to be a pretty big season to see if he can make some steps forward. So Dingler, he is an athletic, pretty good defender. Again, athletic, can move, he can run for a catcher. He's got power. He could be a 15 to 20 home run guy. The biggest concern with him is the bat, really. He projects to be a lower 200s hitter. He strikes out a lot. He doesn't really walk too much. He doesn't have great discipline. But again, he had a power burst, which really got him up draft boards in 2020. And if he can continue that and hit for decent power, have some decent defense, he has a really nice arm. And again, he could even play like out in left field, potentially, maybe at third base, maybe first base. Again, he could be versatile. You could have him as a potential regular in the future. He's in most lists top five in the Tigers organization and going to be a guy to watch this year. And then outside of that, it really lacks. Brady Policelli, he's versatile. He's hit pretty well. He's almost 27, probably just depth. Cooper Johnson, he was like a six-round pick in 2019. He's labeled as a pretty good defensive catcher, could maybe be a backup in the future, organizational, maybe your next Dustin Garnell. And then in this year, Tigers drafted a guy named Mike Rothenberg. He's someone I would maybe keep your eye on a little bit, hit really well in the lower minors, had good discipline numbers. Tigers also drafted a guy named Josh Crouch, who, nothing really on him, I just didn't recognize the name. And then there's also Eliezer Alfonso, not really a good defender at catcher, is pretty, what would be labeled quote unquote as a noodle arm and doesn't really have much power, but he does hit for really good average and he doesn't strike out much. Could be maybe someone to pay attention to. So that's kind of wraps up your catchers. Next, we'll be moving on to first base. So moving on to first base, one thing I'm going to note is that Spencer Torkelson might not come up right away, which would put Jonathan Scope at first base. But I'm just going to assume that it's going to be very short term and that Spencer Torkelson is pretty much the guy at first base in the future. So kicking it off with Spencer Torkelson, Torque is that guy. Torque can rake, and he was drafted to rake, and so far he has raked in the minors. Torque is one of the most important pieces for this rebuild and is hopefully going to be one of the reasons why this team ascends. Torque, again, Arizona State broke records, rose up draft boards, was pretty much the obvious number one pick in 2020, and he was. So, anyways, Torque in the minors this season absolutely dominated. There was a little concern for him at the very start. He came in and was really struggling. He had a really bad spring training, really rough first few weeks in West Michigan. High A West Michigan. I'm going to look at his game log. I want to see exactly how bad he was. Give me a second here. Let's see how bad he was we're going to look at the first like 10 games. So yeah, he had a 74 WRC plus his first 10 games. He was walking a ton, which is in his repertoire. He gets on base a ton. going to be, you know, 10 to 15% walk guy his whole career. But again, his power is really struggling. He wasn't looking good in particular, which really concerned many. Then comes along, starts raking. He hit 30 total home runs, is going to be a 30-plus home run guy. Probably won't ever be a 300 guy. He's probably going to be more like your 230 to 260 guy. I hear Paul Konerko tossed around as a comparison for him. Another guy that he reminds me of is Rhys Hoskins for the Phillies. Torque might not be a super superstar, you know, your A1 guy, like your Freddie Freeman or something. But Torque is going to rake, and he's going to be in the league for at least 10 years and is going to be someone reliable. I don't know if he's going to be up opening day. He has to earn his way onto the roster. And this whole this whole lockout stuff is going to make it a little bit difficult because, again, the season might not even be started by the time the minor league season starts. And also, he won't be able to be compared to with like guys on the 40-man roster. But Torque is going to be really fun, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him. So to round out first base, again, there's not really, you know, a ton of guys that are going to be first baseman specific players in your farm system, especially that are relevant prospects. Usually these guys eventually move to first base. They try them in left, they try them in right, they try them at third, and eventually they move over to first. So that's why there's not going to be a ton. But there's two names that I'm going to signal out. Neither of them are really big prospects. The first guy was sixth-round pick Austin Murr. Murr, he gets on base a lot. He pretty much does everything well, except does not have much power. But he's a really interesting bat, and I think could possibly maybe be a bench guy or something in the future. He can also play in the outfield, someone to keep an eye on. And then also Jake Holton. He was a 10th-round pick in 2019. Yeah, in 2019. And he raked pretty much all. He's raked ever since he's gotten here. So someone to look out for. He hit only 8 home runs. I think he also probably lacks a little bit of power, which is going to keep him off many prospect lists. Another guy, just a name to point out, Josh Lester. He's going to be 28 for majority next season. Probably is the AAA first baseman, though, however, and hit 32 home runs in the minors in the Tiger system that led the whole Tigers organization. He kind of hit a plateau in AA, but again, he raked in AA. Could maybe make a debut if, like, the Tigers are very injured. Again, just some names to throw out, but that kind of gives you another weak position in the farm and just some names to possibly look for in the future. So the next player up is Jonathan Scope. Scope is kind of know what you're going to get from him. He is a 20 to 30 home run guy. He hits your 280, but his discipline sucks. He doesn't strike out a crap ton, but he'll never walk more than 4 or 5%. He actually walked 5.5%, which is a career high last season. But again, never will be above a really a 330 on base. But again, he's never going to be absolutely garbage. He only has 1 year where his WRC plus has been under 99, which was 2018, which was kind of just an outlier year. So Scope, he's well known. You probably have heard of him if you're one of the more, you know, casual Tiger fans that haven't really paid much attention in the last 2 years. But Scope, he's probably going to move back to second base. Last season, he played a majority of first base as the Tigers got an extended look at Willy Castro along with Harold Castro and Isak Paredes. So since the Tigers lacked a first baseman, they tried the Renato Nunez experiment. Didn't work. Scope mainly played first base. Scope came and absolutely sucked to start. He was on a one-year deal for the second straight year. And again, Scope was just not hitting the ball. In April, he had a 37 WRC+. A 198 batting average, struck out 30% of the time. It was uncharacteristic, and you expected improvement, and that's exactly what happened. Scope in May, 107 WRC+, plus, pretty good numbers across the board. Then June was absolutely insane. Jonathan Scope mashed in June, hit a 186 WRC+, plus, over a 1,000 OPS, and hit 340. Pretty much every time Scope was at the plate in that era, something good was going to happen. He was going to hit a nuke. He was going to hit a double. He was going to do something. And that's really what made everyone, you know, on the scope train. A lot of people want a scope to get extended. And he did, in fact, get extended, currently extended through 2022, and has a player option for 2023, which I'm pretty confident he's going to take. He's going to be entering his age 32 year. And again, we kind of know what you're going to get. $8 million is probably what he'd get on the open market. And he likes Detroit. So anyways, what can Scope really improve on? Again, it's the discipline. The Tigers have supposedly been trying to work on his discipline. But again, his walk rate has improved, but hardly. And it hasn't made any difference, really. So again, you kind of know what you're going to get out of Scope. I'm not going to just come out here and say that Scope's going to learn how to walk and hit 30 home runs and be an all-star second baseman. But again, Scope gives you a really reliable major league bat, and he's gonna probably again move to second, and I'm looking forward to seeing him this season. So the next guy up is probably a name that many Tigers fans get a little PTSD hearing, and that's Willy Castro. Willy Castro has been one of the most interesting players. Acquired in 2018, Castro was a pretty decently high prospect in the system and hit pretty well in the minors. He came up and got a cup of coffee in 2019. And then in 2020, he got a real shot. Again, it was a shortened season, only 60 games, but he played a majority of that season and raked. Hit 349, 381 on base, and a 550 slugging percentage, 152 WRC plus as a shortstop, and really got on everyone's radar, a lot of Tigers fans' radar. And entering 2021, he was the starting shortstop, hitting third in the order, and things just fell off. He fell off a cliff. The Tigers really kept him out there, kept hoping that he could finally unlock his potential, get to where he was last season, but it just never worked out. Castro, he did have a few months where he hit pretty well. More earlier in the season, in May and June, he had about a 100 WRC plus league average hitter, but overall he finished with a 69 WRC plus, hit 220, 273 on base, 351 slugging, hit 9 home runs and 450 plate appearances, and was an absolutely garbage defender at shortstop and at second base. He really is just a limited defender, and if you're a limited defender, you got to hit, and he didn't. So the future of Willy Castro really doesn't look bright for him. He's going to get a chance once again because he has some tools. He can hit the ball really hard. He has speed. And again, we've seen a little bit of his success, but one thing that's different about this Tigers team that hasn't in the past is that guys like Willy Castro would get 3 years to show themselves. Guys like Willy Castro now he had last season when the team was still not really competitive, but now they're competitive, and guys like Willy aren't going to stick. Jacoby Jones, Buck Farmer, many names that are like in the same boat as Willy, they're kind of getting, you know, pushed out because more talented guys are coming in that can actually produce, not just potential names. The look for Willy, he's on the roster bubble. He might make the roster. Solid chance he could even start at second base if Torque doesn't make the roster, which I think he's ultimately gonna. But if he doesn't, he might be the second baseman. Scope will start at first. Again, there's a little potential, but again, it's very, very, very dim. I don't see him being really much of anything. Probably a DFA candidate if he doesn't show at least decent, put up decent production this year. Kind of just, you know, I don't know, really. Again, ultimately, if he wants to improve, he's got to be consistent to get to where he was last year. Obviously, in 2020, he was super lucky. He had a 448 BABIP and, again, struck out a lot, walked very little. It was obvious he's going to regress, but he regressed much more than everyone expected. So for him to improve, he's going to have to be better disciplined. He did have a little bit of a drop in his strikeout rate, which is good to see. And just going to have to, you know, piece up the ball more. He's not a good defender. Maybe he can be fringe average at second, but again, I'm not really a Willy Castro guy. I never have been. So the next guy up is Isaac Paredes. Paredes is a really, really, really interesting prospect. He's 23 years old now and has been in the system for a while. So the history with Paredes is he was signed as an international free agent with the Chicago Cubs, was sent over to the Tigers in 2017 in exchange for Alex Avila and Justin Wilson. Probably the best trade that Avila has ever made. Tigers got Jamer and then Paredes. Paredes, he came up, you know, climbed the system, was pretty much a borderline top 100 prospect ever since like the end of 2018. Maybe would make a few lists, always was hanging around it. But he was a pretty well-known name in prospect circles. The thing about Paredes is just the discipline is elite. Paredes has just great patience, doesn't swing and miss often at all. Really was second in the minor leagues in swinging strike percentage. He walks. He gives you a guy that has a really high floor offensively if he can hit the hit ball hard, which he just has not done. With the juice balls in AAA, he only hit 11 home runs last season, had a 186 ISO. That's not terrible, but just the potential that he has if he could hit the ball with more authority and power. In the majors, he was pretty awful. Again, he walked 11.8% at a time and struck out 12.9% at a time, but his ISO was a 111. He hit one home run, which probably should have been two. If you watched that game against Seattle last year, it was heartbreaking when Jake Fraley robbed that home run. But in 85 plate appearances, he really didn't do much. He's now been up two separate seasons, has almost 200 plate appearances at the major league level, and he's yet to show that he can stick. No, he's only 23, and he still has a lot of potential. But now with Jamer pretty much cemented as the future at third base, and Jonathan Scope here to stay, and then other guys that could possibly make competition, Paredes' future looks a lot more dim than it did a year ago even. Again, he has one barrel ever in the majors, which is pretty atrocious. His exit velo is hanging around 85. If you can't hit with power, even if you're Mike Trout with discipline and strike out, if Juan Soto with discipline, if you have no power, you're going to be Handy Diaz at best, who's a decent major leaguer. And right now that's kind of like the comparison, except Yandy Diaz can get on base way more than Paredes can. So again, a really interesting profile. I could definitely see him being mentioned in trade talks. A team like Oakland, who's probably going to have a fire sale sooner than later, would love Isaac Paredes with how they like guys with discipline. Maybe Tampa could maximize him. You know, maybe ship Kevin Kiermaier and maybe Tyler Glasnow, a blockbuster deal where you could involve Paredes. A lot of rebuilding teams, I think the Pirates like these disciplined guys. A lot of rebuilding teams could possibly use him. So Paredes' names could be on the market maybe if the Tigers are contending or if they want to add like a controllable starter even when the lockout ends. But a really interesting player, a guy I'm much higher than Willie Catcher, even though neither of them have done anything at the major league level. I just tend to favor guys that have discipline than guys that, you know, have power but are super wild. If Paredes can even be just a 10 home run guy with legitimate defense at second and second base, you know, you don't have a ton of crazy power hitters. That's an everyday guy for possibly the next decade. So just someone to look out for. Paredes is definitely someone that could have a breakout year next season, and or someone that could break out eventually in his career. A lot of projection systems absolutely love him. I know I'm kind of just talking about Paredes, but he's really someone that is super polarizing. A lot of projection systems have him at over a 100 WRC plus. So again, Paredes, just a really interesting name to see. So rounding up the second baseman in the system, the Tigers, again, don't really have many guys. This farm system in general with the first three positions of ours looked really bad. But looking at the guys, Cody Clemens is a decent prospect. He was a third-round pick in 2018, son of legend Roger Clemens. Clemens had a really solid season in AAA, 413 plate appearances, hit 18 dongs, had a 220 ISO. And by the way, ISO, I know I've mentioned it, I haven't explained it. ISO stands for isolated power, and it basically, it's slugging percentage minus batting average, and it's a solid way to kind of identify the amount of power a player has. It's really grown on me recently because, you know, you can look at these exit velos and barrel rates, but there's no really specific stat that can kind of give you a production standpoint of power, and that's what ISO does. So anyways, again, he hit pretty well, hit 18 home runs, 466 slugging in AAA. Not a great defender, doesn't really hit for a ton of average walks a little bit, strikes out a decent, a lot, not ton, but a little bit. Not really toolsy. He's a utility bench bat, and I think he'll get a look this season. Was added to the 40-man roster last year, but I'm not super high in him. But again, I like him. He's solid. And then you also have in the system Wenciel Perez, who I guess is now a full time second baseman, was originally a shortstop. He finally got above A ball, and I think for good. He spent majority of the year in high A. The power is pretty non-existent with him. He's pretty fast. Stole 22 bases last year. Again, he can be a solid defender. He has tools. Like, he has tools that stick out, but he's probably not going to be more than really much. He was like 18 in A ball in 2018, and he just got out of low A in 2021 as a 21-year-old. So his stock really has tapered off in the last 2 years. He was once like a consensus top 10 prospect in the system. Fangraphs has him at like 24. I think most prospect lists have him in like the high teens or mostly 20s. But, you know, just some names to mention that to possibly look out for. Tigers also signed a guy named Jack Lopez. He got a cup of coffee with the Red Sox. Nothing much. And then another name I want to mention that's kind of just a meme is Jose King. King was acquired in that horrible JD Martinez trade. I don't know if he's even gotten out of A ball yet, but he's never going to make the majors. And that's it. Do you like strikeouts? Because at your shortstop position, you are going to get a lot of strikeouts for the next possibly 6 years. The Tigers signed Javier Baez, who I assume pretty much every single person that's listening to this has heard of. Even if you don't watch baseball, this guy was an MLB The Show cover. He's been a star. He's flashy. He's hated by many. A lot of people love to call him overrated. Javier Baez is the name that the Tigers for years have been talking about, is one of those bats that they were going to add in free agency once they finally could contend. And it finally happened. So a lot of mixed rave about Javier Baez. Baez, some by many are super happy that the Tigers got themselves a shortstop. You know, the Tigers were, their biggest need was clearly shortstop, and the shortstop class had five guys that all could have been, that the Tigers should have went after, and the Tigers got one of them. The thing is, there was Carlos Correa available, Corey Seager, even guys like Trevor Story that all have possibly better track records than Javier Baez. And Baez has a big, big swing and miss issue. Really big, and is very inconsistent. But again, some guys are just, you know, they're anomalies. And Baez is one of them. Again, Baez struck 33% of the time last season, which is actually a career high. He'll probably come down to 29 to 30, maybe even 28, which is about, 29 is his average. But Baez has legit tools, like insane tools, which is why he's a plus defender at shortstop. Really important. Again, the Tigers were absolutely terrible at defense at shortstop. Every guy, you know, Willy Castro was horrible. Zach Short struggled pretty badly. And Nico Goodrum was pretty awful as well. Getting a guy that's a plus shortstop with these young pitchers and adding Tucker Barnhart, this defense is going to improve a lot next season. But again, Baez strikes out a crap ton. He has 30 homer power, though. Baez hit 31 home runs in 2021. I'm going to skip 2020. It was kind of an outlier year. He had a 55 WRC plus negative war. Just couldn't do anything. And supposedly a lot of his thing is looking at video of him hitting, which you couldn't do in the quarantine year. So again, just scratch that off. But again, 2019, 29 home runs. 2018, 34 home runs. 2017, 23 home runs. And every year he's had besides, or every year since 2017, he's been over a 475 slugging percentage. He's going to hit nukes. Even in a less hitter-friendly ballpark, Baez is going to hit more gappers. He might have an even higher batting average than he has. But again, Baez has legit power at short. He has he has really good bat-to-ball skills. Has a career 264 batting average. Basically, if you want to know who Javier Baez is, he's basically Jonathan Scope with more power if he struck out more and could play plus defense at shortstop. That's kind of the best way to put it. But again, is Baez going to ever become a superstar and cut the strikeouts down and walk more? That, like, I've saw some articles saying that the Tigers think that could happen. Maybe again, Baez, he did really good when he went to New York, which he was traded to. He was a long time Cub and then went to the Mets in a trade deadline. He hit .299, .371 on base, .515 slugging, .143 WRC plus. Just to recap, and also struck out less. Only struck out 28% of the time. But anyways, is he going to like see take significant strides, walk maybe 7, 8, 9% of the time, and strike out 26%? That's when Baez could become an MVP candidate if he did that. Again, there's serious upside with him, but that upside is just so unlikely that it'll hit. Again, you're not gonna you've seen him for now 3,000 plate appearances. You're not just going to see him just take another step forward. But again, Baez should be around a 3 to 5 war guy for the next, hopefully 5 years, but at least this year or next year for sure. Huge signing for the Tigers. Makes this team a lot better. And again, swings and misses a lot. Might regress next year offensively. He had a pretty good year offensively. And some people consider him overrated, but it was him or Zach Short slash maybe Ryan Kreidler breaks out. And if you want to compete, you got to get guys, and Baez is the guy. And again, Correa was there. Story was there. But we don't know behind the scenes. Maybe one of them wanted a lump sum of money, as there's been rumors about with Correa. Maybe they didn't want to come to Detroit entirely. Who knows? Just be happy you have your shortstop. So the next guy up, I'm going to be pretty quick with Zach Short. Zach Short was acquired in a 2020 deadline for Cameron Maben. The Cubs wanted a leader guy, someone that could, you know, give them an outfielder off the bench. And they gave a 26-year-old who hasn't really done much, isn't really a toolsy guy, was a 17th-round pick, but, you know, has decent discipline. And that's kind of what got Zach Short to the majors. Zach Short got a nice cup of coffee, or more than a cup of coffee, really got a chance to show himself in the majors when Nico Goodrum was hurt and Willie Castro was clearly outmatched at shortstop. And he really did not take much with the opportunity. He actually started off pretty well. He walked like 12 times in like his first like 30 plate appearances, and then pretty much it went downhill from there. He did hit 15 home runs combined, has a little bit of power. Again, walks like crazy, walked 12% at a time, which again is his calling card, his discipline. But outside of that, he lacks really tools, not really a good defender. He can play, you know, the infield position. He's a utility guy, but he's not going to really be much more than a utility bench bat that, you know, gets like 100 plate appearances a year. I think we'll see him again. He'll get a shot, but don't really think much of Zach Short. He's not much of a future piece. So next up is Ryan Kreidler. Ryan Kreidler really burst onto the scene. Originally a fourth-round pick in 2019. Kreidler had a breakout season last year. Hit 22 home runs in pretty much 500 plate appearances through AA and AAA. Had like a .270-something average. Hit .304 with a .407 on base and .519 slugging in Toledo, which was pretty interesting. But again, only 162 plate appearances, a smaller sample size. But Kreidler, he's become a pretty interesting prospect. I think he's kind of a high-risk, high-reward guy, but he could possibly be something. He's consensus top 10 prospect in the system now. The strikeouts are a little high. He's 6'4", 210. And he's managed to stick at shortstop, and is pretty good there. So one thing that I find ironic is that there were people that were saying, yeah, we should start Ryan Kreidler at shortstop next season. And there was also people that were, you know, hating on the Javier Baez signing and then, you know, talking, praising Ryan Kreidler. They have really similar profiles. Both are shortstops, and both have pretty legit power for a shortstop, and both are pretty good defenders. Baez probably has better bat-to-ball skills than Kreidler. I mean, he probably has a little better discipline, but so does 99% of major league hitters. But again, Kreidler could be, you know, a fraction of what Javi Baez is. Javi Baez is Javi Baez. But again, Kreidler's an interesting name. There's been trade talks, I think he could definitely be a hot target at the end of the season or at the deadline if the Tigers are contending, or in the offseason, or even again after the lockout if the Tigers are trying to get like a controllable starter or something. But Kreider's a pretty decent guy. I think we could see him in 2022. You know, could be the future at second. You know, he's competing with Paredes and maybe Willy Castro for that future second base if Scope decides to leave after this season, which he definitely could. So, you know, just a prospect that's really risen and someone to look out for. Probably wants to limit the strikeouts, just show he can be consistent, and, you know, just show that he be a pretty good defender and he could be a major leaguer. So at shortstop in the system, the Tigers have a solid amount of prospects, which you could probably say the same about most systems as guys eventually move to other positions. They start off as shortstops, but Tigers might have some legitimate shortstop guys. So anyways, you got Gage Workman, who's probably your highest up other than Kreidler, who we already talked about. But Workman, you know, he's a top 20, top 15 prospect. He's actually, he's like a big 6'3 frame guy, just like Kreidler, but has managed to stick to the position, has some power, pretty toolsy, but again, the hit tool is a really big concern. He only hit like 230 and struck, or let's see, he hit 237 and struck out 34% of the times in high A. He's only 21, but definitely something that he's going to want to work on. And then you got Trey Cruz. Cruz, probably the least touted pick of that 2020 class. Son of Jose Cruz and I think also Jose Cruz's dad's grandpa's name, something. Both of them were major leaguers, got a ton of major league blood in the family. He walked a crap ton. I think I already said that, but yeah, he got on base a ton, but that's pretty much it. Hit two home runs in 250 plate appearances, missed almost all the season with injury, and he's not really that good of a defender, doesn't have that much power. He's kind of like a utility player, but someone to look out for. Then you got Manuel Sequeira, and I'm just reading pretty much like up and down based on like where they're projected to start. Manuel Sequeira had like did really well in rookie ball. He's got like he hit 11 home runs in 190 plate appearances. Kind of came out of nowhere a year ago. I did not know who this guy was until like, you know, I heard up he was putting pretty big numbers down in rookie ball. But yeah, he only had a 109 WRC plus, which just tells you all how like bad the pitchers are down there. But 19 years old, he got some sparked some headlines, hitting a dinger off of Jackson Jobe, but he's only 19, still a ways to go. But then here's a guy I like, and I don't know, but I think Christian Santana could be the next big thing in this system. Christian Santana absolutely dominated in rookie ball. I'm pulling up his numbers right now. What's funny is Fangraph, actually, they put the wrong player. They put the wrong Christian Santana, spelled the same way, but it takes you to a totally different player. But he absolutely mashed, walked a ton, had a 21% strikeout rate, which is not terrible. Again, had a 161 WRC+. He's only 18, and like a young 18 too, just recently turned 18. Only played his first year. He played in the DSL, which is in Dominican. It's the lowest level of baseball. Probably 5 years away minimum, but he could definitely develop into a top 100 prospect and possibly more. Tigers also signed another international guy named Javier Osorio. He was ranked pretty highly on the international free agent rankings. Again, he's like 6 months older than me. Or shit, I think he's younger than me. Yes, he's younger than me. So, yeah. He's probably not like 8 years away. I mean, he's so young, so probably will debut this summer. And then you got Isaac Pacheco, who is a second-round pick. He has got legit power. He hits dingers. And he also has shown, like, other decent tools. Like, he's not just a hard hitter. He's going to probably get a third. He's, like, 6'4", probably be, like, 6'4", 250 by the time he's, like, fully grown. But definitely a bat to look for. Strikes out a crap ton. But just someone, you know, just some prospects that could possibly become the next, you know, could become something. So that kind of recaps your shortstops in the system. So my next guy up is Jamer Candelario, and he has really emerged into a pretty legitimate player. So Candelario, way back, was acquired in that absolute fleece of a trade and has played for quite some time with the Tigers, and
he did hit 19 home runs and had a 2.5 WAR in 2018, but he was never really like a sure thing that he was a major leaguer until 2020, where he absolutely mashed a ball and had a big breakout season. And then the question really was whether he can go into 2022 and repeat, or 2021 and repeat that success, and he did that. His numbers dropped a little bit. He was a 20% worse hitter, 138 WRC plus in 2020, 119 in 2021. But the reason for that was obviously because he had 206 plate appearances in 2020 and over 600 in 2021. But again, he was a 3-WAR player, really came along too in the second half. He was good in the first half, but he only had 5 home runs going into the All-Star break. He hit 11 in the second half and less plate appearances. And the biggest thing with him that I noticed, he hit the ball a little harder and his launch angle actually went down and his ground ball rate, I think, went up like 2%. So the only really major difference I saw was that he struck out nearly 6% less. And if Jamer can continue to lower strikeouts, he had a career low 21% strikeout rate of the 4 seasons he's had over 200 plate appearances in. If he can continue that trend, you know, hover around 20 the whole season and hit the ball a little harder like he did, hit the ball in the air more, Cannelari could be a legit 20 home run threat. And that .443 slugging percentage could go up close to .500. And he's going to be at least like a .330, .340 on base guy. So you have a legitimate chance to have an 800 plus OPS guy with solid defense at third base. That's a 4-WAR player. Cannelari has really turned out to be a pretty good player. And I'm just really interested to see how his career could go. I think he's definitely going to get an extension within the next year. And he should, if he can continue and like really prove that, again, he's here. And he's already shown for 800 plate appearances. But again, you never know. But if he can just continue this, not only is he going to get more money in that extension, but he's just going to continue to, you know, become a bigger name and help this team win. Cannelario is one of those guys that you want on a contending team. And he's going to be here for a long time. And if not, he's going to be on someone's team for a long time. So rounding up the third baseman in the farm system, one guy who Fangraph actually identified as a future top 100 prospect potentially was Colt Keith. So Colt Keith, he's huge. He's 6'3", 4", was supposedly 250 now. Colt Keith came in his first season of pro ball. He was a high school pick, two-way guy, and the Tigers like his bat. He absolutely mashed in low A, had hit .320, .436 on base, ridiculous, 16% walk rate, .422 slugging, had a .143 WRC plus. And again, Colt Keith, he's only 20, he's 20 and he's huge. If he can gain that power, continue to grow into his frame, and he's projected to be a pretty good third baseman, Colt Keith could be a legitimate guy. And again, be a top 100 prospect in the next 2-3 years. And he's really someone to keep an eye on. Fangraph has him as a number 9 prospect, and you won't find him outside of the top 15 in many Tigers prospect lists. And then you have Andre Lipsius. Lipsius, kind of part of that, you know, Kreidler, Nick Quintana. The Tigers won a lot of college bats the last couple of years, and he's one of them. Third baseman, he kind of hit in AAA. Walks a solid amount, hit 12 combined home runs. Probably nothing much, again, like a utility guy, but, you know, someone to keep your eye on. So that pretty much sums up the third base. Tigers also got Danny Pinero, who's been pretty good organizational guy. Isaac Paredes might be a third baseman ultimately, but probably on a different team with Jamer at third. So third base, kind of, you know, you kind of have your sure-fired guy and then a few guys that could become something. No guys that are really breakout fringe potential guys. So that's your third base. So the next guy, another sure-fired thing with Cannelario is Robbie Grossman. Grossman, he was a 6th-round pick in 2008 with the Pirates. Didn't get up till 2013, but kind of bounced around. He was with Hinch in Houston, then went to Minnesota, then Oakland. From 2013 and 19, he was kind of your platoon. Always had that elite discipline, crazy on-base ability. And what he lacked really was power. His career high was 11 home runs, which was kind of an outlier. He was more like your 5 to 10 home run and 500 plate appearances guy. And, you know, he'd be a fringe 100 WRC plus bat. But, again, not much power and pretty bad defense. Couldn't really get him as a full-time starter. But then in 2020, really broke out, had a big change in his power, increase in his exit velo. And his barrel rate went from really low to just low. And he hit 8 home runs in 190 plate appearances. And that kind of put Grossman on the map as a possible, you know, under-the-radar free agent guy. And that's what the Tigers took advantage of that. They saw Grossman have, you know, a bump in his power, and they ended up signing him to a 2-year contract, the first multi-year contract that really of the rebuild. And Grossman came in and had a career high in pretty much every statistical category. WAR, he had a career high in home runs, RBIs, runs, stolen bases, plate appearances, games, everything. Grossman had a great year. Almost a 3 WAR guy, which I don't think he's going to go back to as good. He outperformed to the ever so slightest, really not worth mentioning, but again, the power really increased. Wasn't really a big barrel guy, but just the fact that he was putting the ball in play a lot. I think he had really good batted ball, like his ratio with ground balls, strikeouts, and all of that. Let me check to make sure. Yeah, he hits the ball in the air a lot, which caused him to hit a lot of home runs. So ever since that adjustment in his bat, he really has turned into a solid player. He's a free agent at the end of the season. I could definitely see him being re-signed. I'm interested to see how he does in right field this season. Right field is a little bit harder of a position. And I don't think there's a guarantees in right field. Riley might be the right fielder, and he might go to left, and Badu could go to center. But right now, I think he's going to be in right. But, you know, he really solid hitting corner outfielder. He's going to get on base. He's going to have a 350 on base. Going to hit at least 10 home runs, I'd guess. Probably towards 20 again. And just someone that you would love to have in your lineup and would start on 20-plus teams. So next up, you have Akil Badu. Akil Badu, such a good story. You probably have heard of him, even if you don't watch Tigers often. But Badu didn't play in 2020, barely played in 2019. Was in high A, and then got drafted as a Rule 5 pick. Had some tools that were pretty decent, and he comes into the majors, impresses in spring training, comes into the majors, and just hits off the start and has a really solid season with the Tigers. Played in 460 plate appearances, hit 13 bombs, stole 20 bases almost, had a 330 on base, 436 slugging, and he's pretty much solidified himself as a starter for next season. The thing with Badu, though, is that he was very inconsistent. Had his rookie struggles. He was up at times. He was down at times. He had noticeable weaknesses. And I think the first weakness you have to point out is the left hand against left-handed hitters or pitchers. Badu had a 47 WRC plus against righties, 127. And it was way more farther apart. Like, he was 150 at a point against righties and 2 against lefties at a point. But he had expected regression. He outperformed his numbers to a pretty decent extent. But he would piece up a ball, and then he would have some BABIP luck. But BABIP luck isn't always, it's not just pure luck all the time. I mean, Tim Anderson consistently has a 370 BABIP. And that's because Badu has speed. He can run. I want to see his batting at his stats on ground balls, because Scope, who's an average runner, had a 40 WRC plus, or a 4. Never mind. Oh yeah, no, never mind. 73 WRC plus. So yeah, Badu's super fast. You know, he's a fun player. He didn't play too great in center field. And I think the Tigers might try him in center field with Riley and Wright. And I think that's a very possible outcome. But he probably is more of a left fielder. And the question is, can he hit for enough power and consistency to stick? I think he's a big question mark this season. the thing with Bedu was that his first half, he was really good. And there was a point in time where Bedu looked insane. And that was the month of May and June. He walked like 18% of the time. He caught a strikeout rate a ton. And he was just a stud in 20. In June, he had a 150 WRC plus, 13% walk rate, 17% strikeout rate, 348 on average, 434 on base, and a 455 slugging. He was insane. But the thing with Bedu is that he fell off. He had that concussion injury. August was an awful month. He really wasn't that good in July and September. He was better than I thought, though. He had over 100 WRC plus in both months. But the second half, he had a little bit of a fall off. He had a 120 WRC plus going into the All-Star break, and then that was only 95 in the second half. In 95 with a meh left field defense is not an everyday regular guy. But at minimum, I think Bedu is going to be a platoon guy, and him and Haas make a ton of sense in left. And you could even put, you know, Haas in left field, Bedu at center. And again, but 2022 is going to be a big year to determine whether Bedu is just a platoon, respectable guy that can, you know, start three to four to five days a week, give you solid production, be a decent player, or if Bedu is actually a guy that, hey, we can build around. He can be a 110, 120 WRC plus guy, hit 15 to 20 bombs, steal 20 plus bases, and really, you know, really come along. And I think either outcomes are really possible. I think the range of outcome with Bedu is so large, and I think he's one of the most fascinating players in 2022. Bedu could maybe take that next step and get to a 2 to 3 to 4 WAR player, but I also think he could kick a step down and really be just a fourth outfielder. I'm really hoping it's the first, obviously, but we'll just have to wait and see. I'm really interested. Bedu's probably one of the, outside of Torque and Riley, the guy I'm most looking forward to offensively for 2022. So next guy is a guy you might have heard of. His name is Riley Green. He is the number 6 overall prospect on Fangraphs and probably the highest upside of any Tigers player in the system. So yeah, if you've heard of him, Riley Green was the 3rd overall pick in the 2009 or 5th overall pick in the 2019 draft. He raked in rookie ball. Then he went, got called up to low A and Ray, got a cup of coffee in A ball, didn't play in a shortened season, goes to double A, rakes, and goes to triple A and rakes. So yeah, there's a trend there, and he rakes. Riley Green could be an absolute superstar. He just gotten better and better and just seems really polished for only a 21-year-old. Green probably going to end up as a right fielder, might get a shot in center field next year. He's probably going to be, again, a center right fielder, a left fielder, but the bat could be legitimate. Green hit a total of 24 homers in the minors last season, and also stole 16 bases, had a 227 ISO in AA, 245 in AAA, and a WRC plus over 140 in both levels, and the tools are legitimate. He has 60 graded power, he could be, you know, a 30 home run guy, potentially steal 10 plus bases and hit 300. Like, this guy could be a superstar. There's obviously some concern. You're not going to just if he was like a surefire superstar, like Wander Franco or like probably Adley Rutschman, he would be the number 1 prospect or number 2 prospect in baseball. But he's very close to that. And if he can cut down his strikeouts just a little bit, he's going to be so good. That's the only thing with Green. He strikes out a little bit. I don't really know enough about his whiff numbers. I don't think they're too bad. But yeah, the strikeouts are a little high. And if he struck out like 18 or 20% at a time, and it's just hypothetical because he's definitely not going to, he would legitimately be like a 320 hitter and have 30 home run upside. He'd be like a better version of Michael Brantley, which I think is a decent comparison to Riley. Cody Bellinger also comes to mind. But yeah, Green is going to be super good. Probably won't crack the roster, but definitely could if he has a really nice spring. As with Torque, going to be a guy and is a future piece of this team. So be excited if you're a Tigers fan for Riley Green.
So the next guy is Derek Hill. Derek Hill is exactly what you want in a fourth outfielder. Derek Hill came up in 2020, got very brief, 12 plate appearances, didn't do anything. But then came up in 2021, got a shot, and he played really well. He, for like what his expectations were, had a 92 WRC plus. He's really known as a defense tools first player, you know, speed, defense. But he actually hit pretty decent. He was the everyday center fielder for the time he was healthy. He's a really injury-prone guy. He's been injured so many times, which is why it took him so long. It took him about, he was drafted in 2014 and didn't debut until 2020. And he still hasn't gotten like a real shot at the in the majors. But yeah, he's finally come up. He doesn't have great discipline, doesn't have much power, but actually has more power than I thought. His offensive profile, his offense, he's a little better of a hitter than I thought, which I think could help him in the long run, obviously. But yeah, the defense is why he's here. Elite defense, insanely fast. Gonna be a pinch runner so many times, going to be a defensive substitute so many times, playing the lineup. He could be the starting center fielder going into opening day if the Tigers want his defense over Bedu in center. And Green doesn't make the roster, but ultimately I think he's going to be a fourth outfielder in here for a long time, and I really like Derek Hill. So the next guy is a pretty interesting player, nonetheless. It's Victor Reyes. Reyes is now 27. He's been on the team now for four different stints, and he actually has been better than I really thought he was going to be. I don't think Victor Reyes is going to be anything ever. He strikes out way too much for his walk rate. He walks never. He doesn't make hard contact because he's always chasing and swinging at bad pitches. He's huge. He's 6'5 and almost 200. But he only has hit 13 home runs ever, and five was his career high, which he got last year. And one of them was an inside the park or so. I don't know if you want to count that. He's at best a 310 on base guy, but probably more towards 290-ish. Hits like 270, but he doesn't walk, so it really doesn't mean much. He's got speed. He's an okay defender. He's what you want in like a fifth or sixth outfielder that can come up if for an injury and be relatively productive. You know, he's a replacement level player, which, and he's someone that can, you know, play. He can play. Like he's not an absolute liability like a lot of these guys in the rebuild have been, and that's why he's stuck even through this AJ Hinch kind of like massacre with all these could be good guys. So he got tendered this offseason, was a huge non-tender candidate. I was pretty surprised that he got tendered. Definitely on the bubble for this roster. If he hits well, he's on this team, and if he doesn't, he won't be. He actually had a really good second half, had a 118 WRC plus in the second half. And you could tell that he was like when he, you know how you have that feel when someone good is up to the plate. I kind of felt that with Reyes. And he was like a negative one player, negative one WAR player. And he really got all the way up to 0.3. So is Victor Reyes going to be good and be an everyday player? I would be so shocked if he was. But solid depth, probably going to start. I think he has some options, so it's not the worst thing. Yeah, it's two left. So, yeah, be on the lookout for Victor Reyes. He probably will stick around for next 2 to 3 years. So the last major candidate that to get playing time this of the outfielders is Daz Cameron. Daz Cameron is kind of like a less toolsy Derek Hill at this point. Definitely has a better bat or better offensive potential, but so far he has really done nothing in the majors. He's gotten almost 200 plate appearances, and yeah, just has not done anything. 59 WRC plus. He strikes out way too much, walks a little bit, but power's not been there really either. So yeah, Daz, he was acquired in a Justin Verlander trade, son of major league, longtime major leaguer Mike Cameron. He's kind of just, you know, a potential guy that's waiting to break out, and so far he is not. Just checking out his baseball savant, how he's doing. Yeah, I mean he like barrels a little bit. He hits the ball decently hard. He had even a solid launch angle.
it's just the strikeouts were way too high, and I think he was a little unlucky too. But he could definitely be a decent player, and there's you can for sure cannot give up on him yet. But time is ticking. He's 25 now. He's not nearly the prospect that he once was. He was once a pretty decently touted prospect. He was even a top 100 prospect for a point in time back in like 26, before he was even with Detroit. But with Detroit, he was still like a top 200 prospect. But he's kind of fallen off now as he has not shown production yet. But there was a point in time where he was hitting well, and he's shown flashes. Kind of, you know, a flash. He's shown flashes, but hasn't reached that potential. Willie Castro, all these guys, and again, he'll get a little, he'll get more of a chance, but he's not going to get 3 years like some of these guys used to. So, definitely someone to look out for next season. I'm interested to see if he can possibly or finally really break through. He's probably more of a project anyway. Probably was going to take longer to develop that bat anyway. So. We'll see with Daz in the future. So to round out the outfielders in the system, the Tigers have a few guys that are worth mentioning. In terms of depth, Jacob Robson is someone that he came up. He hit really, really well in the minors, walks a lot, but not really a major league profile. Doesn't have any tools, really. Cary Carpenter, probably nothing really, but he was like 24 and or 23 like fifth round pick and started in double A in the second year of pro ball, which I thought was pretty interesting. You got Daniel Cabrera. His prospect stock has fallen off. He was pretty bad, honestly miserable. Had an 88 WRC plus 242, and he was described as like a close to league ready, you know, hit big hit tool, get on base guy, and he's not really been that. Bryant Packard, another guy that's really fallen off. He was once a decently touted prospect for his bat, kind of like Austin Murr earlier, but he hasn't hit really much, and he's fallen off. He's fallen down boards. And then you got Parker Meadows. Parker Meadows was a second-round pick. I think the Tigers went over to slot for him. He was described as like the next big thing. Lynn Henning, who was the guy I talked about, he was a big Ryan Kreidler guy. He talked to him about that, touted him up as this future 30 home run guy. Let's wait and see, but I'm almost sure that there'll be nothing. I think some other names like Kingston Liniac, he think he had a pretty okay year finally coming along. Loud Tools, never mind, he sucked. And then two other names to mention are like these very young international guys. Roberto Campos, the Tigers, like, he was signed out of nowhere for a ton of money and was pretty bad in rookie ball last season, so hopefully he can do better. And then Jose De La Cruz, horrible, absolutely horrible when he got a shot in full season ball. Struck out 46% of the time. He did better when he got sent down, but still strikes out a crap ton. I don't think he'll be anything, but he's got like a ton of raw power, so that's why he's on some prospect lists. So that's your farm system for hitters, pretty much. Not too great. They got, obviously, you got Torque and Riley, and then you got a few guys like Gage Workman, Ryan Kreidler, Colt Keith, so, and Dylan Dingler. So potentially a few names, but probably need some more depth guys. Hopefully Christian Santana and some of these young guys can develop a little bit, but we'll see with them. And then not really a position guy, which is why I'm just mentioning him now, but Harold Castro is the next man up. Harold Castro is actually a little underrated, I think, or at least I underrated him last year. I don't think Harold Castro is good at all. He was international signing, I think, for cheap. Was in the system. He's been in the farm system, or was in the farm system for a good 8 years before he finally debuted in 2018. And then got a legitimate chance in 2019 and 2020 before he got hurt. But 2019, he hit like 300. A lot of people, you know, thought he had some potential, but he pretty much is purely just a hit for average guy. He can play everywhere, which is really good for him, which is why he's the utility guy as of now, assuming the Tigers don't sign someone, which they definitely could. But right now, he's the utility guy. Last season, he was pretty solid. There was a point in time he was hitting like 340. He's a singles machine. Hit so many singles. But it's because he hits a ton of line drives. His line drive rate was 34%, which I don't know what the – I mean, I think the average is like 25, and I don't know what the who number one is, but he if he was qualified, he surely would be top 20 in the league, and I'm 100% positive about that. The power's pretty non-existent. He hit three home runs. One of them was a 440 homer bomb, which – or 440-foot bomb, which I was really confused about. But outside of that, he's very fringe. And then not really fast, but yeah, he's here to play any position. May not play many positions well, but he can play anywhere. He can hit your 280, 290, and that's it. And he'll probably stick for 2 to 3 more years. Probably isn't a utility guy and a contender. A utility guy on a contender is a Chris Taylor or Kike Hernandez. Genuinely valuable guys to the team. But Harold Castro is not a liability, and he should be in line to make the roster next season. Last but not least, you have Miguel Cabrera. So Miguel, he was really atrocious the first month of the season, and then he hit pretty well the second half, or pretty much from then on, hit pretty well. Looking at his splits month by month, he had, let's see how many seasons, let's see what his best month was. He was really good in June. July, August hit pretty well. Kind of tapered off a little bit in September. The walks really fell off. But yeah, with Miguel, I hate to say this, but look, he's 38 now. And he was still hitting the ball super well and hard, hitting on the ground more, had knee issues, obviously, which is why he's, you know, his Miguel Cabrera self kind of fell. But he still was showing, like, Miguel Cabrera type things. But I think 2021 was really the season where we really started to see the downfall of Miguel Cabrera. You know, he went from like still being a producer, and I still think he was a producer last season, but in like not much, not nearly as much as he was. But he really went from being that, like, you know, middle of the order bat to kind of just, you know, that Albert Pujols territory where he's just very on a big contract, just riding it out with his career. But you know, he still hit 15 home runs, still hit 260, and almost had a 320 on base. I think he could bounce back. Obviously, he's Miguel Cabrera. We've seen him rake, and it seems like every even year he has a good year. There's been a trend. Every bad year he's had has been an odd year. 2021 was actually his worst year, known in terms of WAR and off and WRC plus tied his worst one. But again, outside of that bad start, he was good. But again, his exit velocities took a big hit. Lowest they've ever been. I think his barrel rate was close to the lowest it's ever been. See if I can see that. I don't think I can on Fangraphs. But his walk rate was the lowest it's been in his career. His strikeout rate was the highest it's been in his career, or at least since he was very young. No, yes, highest in his career. Like, Miguel Cabrera is really the age has gotten to him. You know, at least he was able to play first base this year, but I'm expecting about roughly a similar season, maybe even worse, probably going to have a negative WAR, probably could or probably should be retired or at least not paid $30 million. But it's Miguel Cabrera. He deserves the money for how good he was back in the early 2010s. So I hate to be kind of a pessimist with Cabrera, but I don't think he's coming back to what he once was. But it'll be fun to see him play with this new generation with Torque and Riley, and hopefully maybe he can see the playoffs one more time, or at least see be on a competitive team. But again, you gotta love Miguel Cabrera, and he's going to be a Detroit legend forever. So to round it up, if you're a Tigers fan and you've listened to this, you should have pretty much a guide for your 2022 season on who to watch, what to expect, and pretty much any question or like thing that you kind of wondered, hopefully I could have answered. Obviously, there's probably more questions you have, and you could always shoot me a DM on tigers.news_, which I assume most of you are coming from. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to do pitchers eventually, probably when I have to be in a certain baseball mood. And on the way home earlier today, I was like, you know what? Why don't I fill in my podcast just talking about Tigers? Hopefully this lockout ends soon. It's not looking good. Hopefully, This lockout ends before we get into World War III, as things have not been looking good. But, yeah, make sure to subscribe or follow this podcast. I'll post in the future more. I'll probably be more consistent with the regular season, whenever that'll be. And, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Peace.